and they come to Islam and come to us to enter into shura with us, seeking aid and assistance for that particular problem. Should we allow them to enter shura with us and assist them, or should we leave those persons alone to resolve those problems independently within themselves?
All right, I think I have a question. But the last one expression I didn't get so clearly. You say, should we involve them in?
It's sure, right?
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. I thought that's what you said, but I want to be certain.
Yeah.
Now, yes. No. We can listen to them, and respect their knowledge, and opinions. And even admit some of their, input or advice, but that wouldn't, in my opinion, be called a shura. A shura. As a general term, is not necessarily shura. Once we put the term shura to it, then we identify with it, which says that we are saying that this is conducted in an Islamic way, and what's happening here is approved by Islam, and will come out an Islamic product. So. We can't say these discussions with others outside of Islam are sure. It's shura. No, we shouldn't say that. That's not shura. Let me say this. We should be aware of drugs, substance abuse, as a serious, serious matter, threatening the good life of this society. And we should have some plans to counter the increase and drug traffic and problems that we have because of substance abuse. But sometimes, to me, our best effort won't be our efforts that involve us with ex-drug users or with persons that's devoted only principally to addressing drug problems, the drug issues. Drug abuse issues. Our best work will come from us building the Islamic community life. That's the best way to counter the threat from drug abuse, from substance abuse. The best way to counter it is to build the Islamic life. Our model will keep out that poison. It'll be free of that poison. And our model will be a healing agent in the environment of America. That's the best war against drugs we can possibly come up with or possibly wage. All right.
Okay. Brother Idris.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam and Imam. On the question the brother asked, about what the country was based on, as far as Christianity.
Yes.
I want to let him know that there's a book out, Sworn on the Altar of God. And it's a religious biography of Thomas Jefferson. And I think all the emails should get it and read it. Sworn on the Altar of God.
Uh-huh.
And in this book, he taught against the Trinitarian doctrine. He called it abracadabra. He said there's no way that you get three into one and one into three. And reading the book, one would say, you wrote the book, that you and Thomas Jefferson were the one.
No, I didn't write it.
I know.
I would have said you can get one, three into one.
Yes, sir.
But you'll come out with fractions.
Oh, I just want them to know that the man with the book is sworn on the altar of God.
Yes.
It's a biography of Thomas Jefferson.
Yes. Yeah, I would like to acknowledge at this time that the information that I received was not just from Imam Plima, but also from Imam Idris. Mm-hmm. And it was very helpful information that he shared with me.
Praise God. Yes. Praise God. I got the book, and anyone to see it. Mm-hmm. I have it outside. I'll show the title and everything. And
then okay, very good. Okay, Brother Bilal.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Last night, when we were in Shura, I asked a question about using the Muslim American society. In our city, we have some believers that's in our association who took the name Muslim American Society of Baltimore. So I want to know, you know, how should we approach that as a whole community? Because mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a conflict in the future. And they couldn't answer the question last night. They said they were going to take it back. But since we got you here, maybe you can answer it.
Yes, well, my understanding is that we agreed to be identified as the Muslim American Society. That's how we are identified, mainly for the purpose of helping others refer to us by name. Because they were making us aware of the problem, that we need to give them a name that they can refer to all of us by. We want more than a name that identifies us all as one association is Islamic freedom, so that we all can grow and not have to be come under the restrictions from any particular area, locale, or any particular leader in our community, but be free to grow as Muslims. I don't want any of you to think that you have to grow in the confines that I make for you. If you can grow beyond those confines, do it. But grow good, grow in a good way, and grow in accordance with the guidance of God. In the Quran and in the life of Muhammad. So if you can go beyond the boundaries that you think I have set, go beyond those boundaries. So my interest is giving us complete freedom to grow as Muslims. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't like too much organization for the whole of us, for all of us. An organization should be concentrated locally, not centrally. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Organization is concentrated locally, not centrally. So this name permits us to, when anybody asks, well, there are many Muslims, there are Shiites, there are Sunnis, there are Arabs, there are Indians, there are all these. What is the name of your group? Tell them we are the Muslim American Society. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we hang a sign up all over the neighborhood saying Muslim American Society. That's not what that's for. So I think if you go that way, you're causing a problem, because the name is not more important than our essence and our life and our work of building the community. So we don't want MAS on everything. No, we want that language for communication with non-Muslims more than we want it for communication with ourselves. We don't need it for ourselves. I think that clear, Billy Man?
Yeah, I think he wants to bring the top of the hill.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Billy Man. Thank you for the question. Yes.
All right, all the way in the back. Wait, my slam.
There are those who think that in this association, that it is more appropriate for them to identify themselves as American Muslim and not Muslim American. Now, I know the language is very important. I know the man gave it that language. So if he could address that, I would appreciate it.
I heard. Yes, thank you. I believe I heard the question. Yes. Allah created us, if our intentions are good, if we have the purity of intentions, Allah has created us so that our soul will register something that's not approved by God, or something that is not as good as God would like for it to be in us, you see. So I would, in years behind me, I've used the expression American Muslims. But when I would use it, something inside was kind of disturbed. It didn't quite please me inside. Why? Because we are describing the Muslim life with the American life. We are putting the American life as a description of our Muslim life, when our Muslim life should be defining and describing our American life. So the expression for me is Muslim American over American Muslim. So now if there's a further, the brother may have more to say. It may be a follow-up question. I don't know. So I want to, before leaving that the brother who asked the question, I want to know if there was a follow-up question, or is there a comment he would like to make. I don't know.
Thank you. The logic that they tried to give to me in this regard was they said that because of what you just said, that we are Muslims first, and they were going by grammar. They were saying it was more grammatically correct to say American Muslim as opposed to Muslim second, because they were Muslims. But I said, you know.
Well, I took college grammar. I passed it, and I know that really when it comes to grammar, there it comes from organizations. They decide in these organizations what's proper and what's improper, and they all don't agree. So there's disagreement as to what is proper and improper. On the highest level, there's disagreement. And for most of us, the modifier says what the label is, the modifier. So what kind of Muslim is this? He's an American Muslim. What kind of American is this? It's a Muslim American. I don't have to discuss that further.
All right, let's see. Right here, yes, sir.
We don't want to be Americanized against our Islamic content. We want Muslims to govern our Islamic content, our American content. Muslim could govern, should govern the American content, not the other way around. Yes, sir. Alaykum as-salam.
Praise be to Allah for your excellent work.
Thank you.
My question is in regard to what you mentioned about females. Is it appropriate to have females a part of the Shura board? Is that Islamic?
It's appropriate to, in fact, it's an obligation to recognize the voice of females in the Shura. But to have the two bodies as one is not acceptable, I don't think. So sisters should have also their shura. And their shura should be in support of the shura, the brother's shura, the shura of the Muslim men. And their shura should be formed to give assistance in the form of well-meaning positive criticism too, as well as support for it. Yes, the sisters should be seen. Sisters should be seen as a governing unit to themselves under the Quran, the Muhammad, the Prophet, and the Shura of the learned people of good character. That's the way it should be seen, and their contribution to the Shura should be respected as though it came from a man. We shouldn't look at it sex in terms of gender. We should respect what they have to offer as though it came from a brother, a man.
Detroit can, brother, but okay, Detroit can, but you're not gonna be the one right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't become impatient. The Prophet Muhammad was asked by a young man, says, give me some advice that will serve me for all of my life, since you are the messenger of God. And Muhammad the Prophet, the messenger of God, peace be upon him, He said, don't be controlled by anger.
But the Imam, as the, we teach people this deen from your, from the Quran and from the life of the expression from the Prophet and from your great wisdom, the question, or I guess the issue comes up, well, how do we present you, I mean, to these people? If we just say he's how do we explain your role? I can't tell these people you're an ordinary man. I mean, can you kind of help us? Do we tell them you're Christ? How do we tell these people? They see how much we love you. They see how we talk. When your name is mentioned, we love you so much.
I know.
How do we explain you?
I know. I know what you're saying. And believe me, I have had that problem myself. Yes. I have to say that the way I solved it for my comfort is that my uniqueness or my distinction is really owing to my very special circumstances that I have in my life. The best way to present me as a product of you. This is a product of our life, our history, our trials and tribulations, our life of suffering, and our life of human excellence has produced a son among us, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, and I'd like for you to get to know our leader. Yeah.
Okay, yes, sir.
Alaikum as-salam.
Can you just need for better hospitality in the masjid, so the masjid will not use as a theater for battle?
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Yes. You know, Islam is struggle. Islam is the right of opinion. Islam is competition. But Islam is not bitter rivalry. Bitter rivalry is against Islam. Mm. And anytime we see bitter rivalry developing in the masjid or anywhere, especially in the masjid, we should say, Allahu Akbar, say, this cannot happen here.
Right.
So you brothers have to come to peace, speak to each other, respect for each other, not in anger. This is no place for you all to be competing for power here or for recognition. That's the duty of all members in the body to set the alarm when you see that developing and ask that it be stopped immediately. And say, if it's not stopped, we're going to overcome you or you're going to overcome us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to stand up for serious matters.
Okay. Yes, sir. Ma'am.
Yes, sir. But you know, with the recent visit to Malaysia last year, and with the current economic problems that they're facing over there, is there any way that our community, can gain economic profit with Malaysia while simultaneously building a better relationship with the country?
Yes, that's a very excellent question. Timely. Yes, I've thought about that since I heard of the problems that not only Malaysia, but the Asian economies, national economies of Asia, a lot of them have been having some serious problems. But it may not be as serious as it looks on the surface. They will be able to regroup and come up with different strategies. They're not lost. Malaysia is going to be strong. Indonesia is going to be strong. The Asian countries will still be strong economically. I don't see it as really a threat to their establishment, to the economic establishment of these countries. But it's a time of trouble, serious trouble for them, This is the game. This is the chess game of international power brokers who are always trying to get more power for themselves to the loss or the disadvantage of others. And they see themselves in blocks. One is the Western bloc. Here is the Asian bloc. And here is the Muslim bloc. And they were saying of the Islamic nations out too. They would be in a special bloc, or what I'm using the term bloc just for want of a word to distinguish one environment, influence, one circle of influence for interest. They could be called circles, but I'm just saying blocks. I choose to say blocks. So the Islamic blocks looked at separately from the Asian bloc, because you have people who want to see Islam contained or defeated in high places. So you'll have them looking at the Islamic bloc. How can we defeat the economic growth of the Islamic world? How can we defeat them? How can we stop them? How can we block them? How can we trip them? How can we get them off course? How can we make this effort of theirs, this big effort, fail? You see? So they're doing this. They're working hard. It's pity that we don't work hard like that. To advance our cause with clean hands, not with dirty hands, with clean hands. And I'm not finished. I'll be finished in a few minutes. Yes. So this is a good time. If you think I answered his question, then you have to listen a little more to what I'm saying. What I said, all of it, I was standing there. Listen a little more. I haven't answered his question. This is a good time, I think, for us to restate our interest in having a powerful, practical friendship with the Malaysian government and its people. This is a good time to do that. And this young man is qualified to be our ambassador, to carry the message to the Iranian government that our community met, the leaders met, on this day. In Harvey, Illinois, in the Chicago area, and the body of men through our leader sent the message to the Malaysian government that we want them to know that we are still very strongly interested in having a real joint venture with them to strengthen our institutions of learning, to help us develop them and strengthen them for the future, and also to build a Muslim community economy with their input and with some joint ventures with them. Could you take this message, brother?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Adam.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother Imam.
Brother Imam, I've been invited to the local synagogue in Fayetteville to speak at the rabbi's breakfast on Christian, on Jewish-Muslim relations.
Yes.
And I just want to know, from your perspective, what would be the best way to address that, considering that the one thing I noticed, the rabbis learned in the scholar in his own right, and also considering that there are places in the Quran where Jews are not cast in the best light.
That's right. Well, in the Quran, the Jews are cast in the best light. Yes.
I might want to cast it like that.
All right. All right. So, what you're inviting me to express to you what I feel may be the way to address that? Oh, all right. Thank you. The way I always address it is like this. But I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you another something else. I do this, but I do it subtly, real very subtly most of the time. But if you feel the audience is not too stiff to do this, tell them the most critical people of the Jews are the Jews. So the Quran is not near as harsh in criticizing the Jews as the Jews have been over the life of your history. What's important for us in our relationship with Jews? Now you talking to them. Now you form it after you'll put it together. What's important? I'm speaking as though I'm there with you. There. What's important for our relations with Jews? For our improved relations with Jews, or for forming a relationship with Jews that we hope will develop into a productive relationship for both of us, is that God tells us of you that among you is a group committed to faith in God and the promotions of fair justice and fair dealings among men of the world. And that's the strong invitation to us from God in our holy book to have some meaningful ties with you. Because God asked us to say, God said, let there be out of you a group believing in God and promoting justice and fair dealings in the world. So God has called you and us to do the same. On the world scene, there's a place for common grounds and unity and cooperation to promote this peace and justice for all people of the world. Thank you. Well, the imam is the convener of our shura, and he has a clean and a dirty position. I mean dirty in a nice way. I mean that it won't always be comfortable, won't always look pretty to us, what he has to do now. Do your job, my brother.
All right, we're going to take two more questions.
All right. That's fine.
We take two more questions. All right, Brother Hassan, John Hassan.
Thank you, Brother Imam.
Brother
Imam, I like to say I commend you on the article in the Muslim Journal, and questions and answers.
Yes.
The reason has been taking place.
Yes.
That has been excellent.
Thank you.
My son, 15 years old, he takes that to school. He looks for that in the paper.
Yes.
And he be sharing it at the dinner table sometime in breakfast in the morning. And that's a big spot.
Well, praise be to Allah. That makes us feel very good to hear that from you, and that's the way we feel about it. But it's not my idea. I'm just answering a request that was made. Brother Imam Omar Shaheed of Columbia, South Carolina, he brought it to me, and he had discussed already met with a few others and asked that for their participation. So it's mainly work being done by the imam from Columbia, South Carolina, with two or three other brothers that are working with him. I imagine could be more now. Since then, he might have more working with him. But I know Imam Pasha of Atlanta is a key person working with Brother Imam Omar Shaheed. And I agree. They're doing a very, very beautiful job. And Allah is blessing me to work with them. And I hope we're working it out to all of your satisfaction.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All right. last question from the home state here, Chicago. We have Brother right. Banning.
That's good. That's good.
Remember to advise us in responding to questions on Minister Lewis Farrakhan.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hold the mic a minute. Thank you. When I got down here, it was so comfortable. But after a while, there's pain. I have same positions now. That feels better. Yes. This is good. These are very important matters.
Yes,
see, these are the matters that we should address when we're together like this, so that the whole community be consistent and respond in the same way to these problems or issues. In my opinion, the best way to deal with or treat, I'll say treat, the best way to treat the popularity of Minister Farrakhan, and that's what it is his popularity that is always being addressed. It's nothing else. It's his popularity. The best way to treat his popularity is to keep it out of our language, unless we are forced to admit it into our language. And if we are forced to address to him, let us do it as briefly as possible. Don't spend no more than a half a minute, a few seconds on it. That's it. Forget about it. Because our enemies want to burden our efforts and want to dilute our works. So if we take up Farrakhan as an issue, that ties up our energies, takes from our effort, and dilutes our work, and also interferes with our spirit. He's not fresh air in the room of our spirit. So be aware that there might be innocent people bringing up Farrakhan. And it might be guilty persons bringing up Farrakhan. So let us be aware of that. Let's not come to the conclusion that this person is an enemy that's bringing up Farrakhan while we're trying to have a meeting here or something. But let us not dismiss the possibility that person might be an enemy. Okay. You said two?
Yes.
You want to give three? So yes, I'll give three.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right, Ma'am Kalia.
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu
alaikum. This is a burning question I've had, and I resolved I wasn't going to raise it. But one of your previous answers about peace in the masjid influenced me to raise this question. Not a question, but point out an issue. There are those who associate with us, some who are imams, who subtly and sometimes openly disagree with your tafsir and your direction.
Yes.
That bothers me. Old soldier, old spirit does not let me tolerate that. I know that your direction is more peaceful and more conciliatory, but it just bothers me to know that there are people who are subtly and sometimes very openly working really against you and us.
That's right.
There's been some to say.
Yeah, I'm aware.
They actually have taken over.
Mm-hmm.
That is that we built.
That's right.
Yes.
All right.
Good question.
We all know what our immediate impulse to do is to do, but you have said to me things directly, and you said things to us generally that would say we can't do that. So what can we do?
All right. I can only tell you what my concerns are, and then you have to be responsible for your own self and your actions. Islam permits people to have their own opinions, to differ with us,